What a great God we serve. And it's just amazing to me that He would even hear my prayers. It just is. It's here I am. I'm so small. He's so great. I'm so limited. He is unlimited. I'm so unworthy. And He is so worthy. And that He would hear our prayers, that He would even look our way. What a wonderful God we have. What a great Savior we have. John chapter 6 in our Bibles this morning. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here and the opportunity to take part in these meetings and to stand and preach God's Word. It's a tremendous responsibility and privilege. And Pastor, thank you for allowing us this privilege this week. John chapter 6, and when you find your place, if you can stand with me if you're able, I'd appreciate that as we read God's Word. And is this my water right here, preacher? Okay, thank you. John chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1, very familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of us, but I want us to look in these verses and see what the Lord would have for us here this morning. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, I'll read aloud. You follow along in your King James Bible. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. We're taking as our title from our text, verse 11, the end of the verse, it says, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. I want to preach this morning on this thought, you can have as much as you want. Amen. You can have as much as you want. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the day You've given us. Thank You, God, for this opportunity. Lord, we cherish these times that we can gather together. Lord, especially in these days, it seems like these times have been fewer than normal. And Lord, we've been faced with the realization that we may not always have these opportunities in the way that we have them today. And so God, I pray that we would make the most of this gathering. Lord, we understand that the trumpet could sound at any time and we could leave this place. And Lord, we say with the Apostle John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And Lord, this may be our last opportunity. Death could visit any one of us today. And this may be our last opportunity to gather in this way. And so, God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would have complete liberty in this place today. I pray, Father, that our hearts and minds would be emptied of the things of this world, of the cares and burdens and the pressures and the troubles. And Lord, may we lay them at your feet this morning that we might receive clearly from your word the instruction that you have for us. Father, thank you for everyone that is gathered. I believe this is by divine appointment. I don't believe in chance or any of that had anything to do with that. I believe it's by divine appointment that we are here today. And so, God, we pray that you would do a divine work in each and every one of our hearts. Father, we pray for salvation for those that are lost. We pray, Father, for revival for those that are saved. We pray that in all things Jesus Christ would receive all the glory and the praise and the honor that's due only to his name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In John chapter 6, we're familiar with this story. We're familiar with the fact that Jesus here feeds the 5,000. The Bible says there's 5,000 men. In another place it says not counting women and children. And so the multitude was even greater than 5,000. And we know the story. Here they are. They're in a place where there's not, as far as we know, not any food available. And Jesus proves his disciples by saying, we need to feed these people. And of course, they just automatically see the impossibility of the situation. But God, through the willingness of a lad, and let me just say this, I don't believe he's the only one who brought a lunch that day. I believe he was just the only one willing to share it. And let me tell you something, this was the work of God for a boy to part with his lunch. Come on. Man, that's the work of the Spirit of God right there. So this young boy, he's got this lunch. He's got five barley loaves, and their loaves were not the loaves we, you know, everything over here is American-sized. Amen? We're a biggie-sized nation. And when we think of a loaf of bread, we're thinking of something about, 18 inches long or something like that. No, these are just little hand-sized loaves of bread that he has. This would be a lunch for a boy. He's got five loaves of bread, five biscuits, amen. We're down south, so we'll say biscuits, amen. He had five biscuits, and he had two fish. And that's all he had. But what he had, he was willing to give to the Lord. Amen. He saw a need, and he said, I don't see a way that I can meet the need, but I can do my part, amen. And little as much, when God is in it, amen? And so he gives his lunch to the Lord, and the Lord works this miracle. He takes the five barley loaves, he takes the two fishes, and he gives them to his disciples. And the disciples give it to the people, and the Bible says that the people here ate as much as they would. As much as they would. That is, they had all they could eat, all they could want to eat, they ate on this day. And I was struck with this statement as I was reading it sometime back. As much as they would. And I was hit with the fact and the realization that we can have as much as we want from the Lord. Amen. As much as we want. What do you mean, preacher? I mean that God is not limited in His power. God is not limited in His provision. God is not limited in His peace that He can give to us. God is not limited in His pardon that He offers to us. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've not been saved by the grace of God, can I tell you that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He took your sins on the cross of Calvary and He paid for every one of them with His blood. If you want salvation, you can have it today. There's no limit to our God. There's no end of resources with our God. He never gets to the point where He says, I do not have the supply that is needed. Now, we get there, don't we? And we get to a place in our life, we say, well, this is the end of the checking account.
Yep.
This is the end of my strength.
Right.
This is the end of my wisdom.
Yep.
This is the end of my experience. This is the end of my resources. But God has never got to that point.
Amen.
He's never got to the place where He said, I am at my wit's end. I am at my supplies end. I am at my power's end. No, with God, there is a limitless supply.
Amen.
Now, that's wonderful in and of itself. But praise God, that's not where it ends. Because that supply that is limitless to Him, He makes available to us.
Amen. Thank God.
And this morning, in Madisonville, Kentucky, at Island Ford Baptist Church, you're sitting here and I want you to know that you can have as much as you want. Well, I want to get closer to God. You can be as close to God as you want to be.
Amen.
Now, you know what? You can't say that about everybody. These big political rallies they're having these days. You say, which one are you talking about? Well, only one side's having big political rallies. And people, you see that they post their interactions. Well, I got this close to the president.
Oh, yeah.
And by this close, they mean I was in the front row. I was only 30 feet away from him. Right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you this morning, you can be much closer to the Lord right now. You don't have to go through security.
Right.
You don't have to go through the background check. You don't have to go through the hoops that are in place.
Right.
If you want to see the president, you're probably not going to be able to see him.
Right.
You're not going to be able to get that close to him. But this morning, you can get as close to the Lord as you want to get.
Yes,
you understand the Bible says that there is no respecter of persons with God?
Right.
You can be as close to the Lord as your pastor is.
Sure.
You can be closer.
Amen?
Because the pastor can be closer to the Lord. I can be closer to the Lord than what I currently am.
Amen.
And don't you know I want to be? Amen. That ought to be the desire of each and every one of us to understand that we can have as much access to God as we could ever possibly want.
Amen.
He said you can have as much as you want. They ate as much as they would.
Amen.
I feel like in these days that we have somehow in our mind we've thought that we are prisoners of the times in which we live. We know, preacher, I know the way it was back in those days, but we're in a different day. I understand we're in a different day, but do you understand that society, the Lord said when He comes back, society is going to be as bad as it was in the days of Noah.
Yep.
You know what that means? It was really bad back then.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
So we've got this idea. Well, because the times are getting worse, and the Bible does say that men shall wax worse and worse, and so there's a digression of mankind getting worse and worse, but we're not in unprecedented evil.
Right.
Because when we get to that point of really rock bottom as a society, we will get back to the point where Noah was in his day. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Our times are not limiting God's power.
Amen.
I have friends that don't believe we can see revival.
Yes, sir.
And they're still my friends. Amen.
Sure.
They've been wrong before. Now, will we see revival? I don't know.
Right.
It's not looking too good.
Yep.
If you're looking at the circumstance.
Right.
But when did looking at the circumstance ever benefit anyone?
Amen.
Well, we're not going to see revival in these last days. We're supposed to look for the rapture, not revival. I've heard that over and over again. Well, my question is, how come I can't look for both?
Right. Amen.
Our God hasn't changed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. His power hasn't changed, and we can have as much as we want.
Right.
Now, if you look at the day in which Jesus found himself here, it was not a good time. It was not a good day. It was not a favorable society.
Right.
In the very beginning of the chapter, it says, after these things. After what things? Well, look back in chapter 5, and you'll see right from the get-go what the Lord is dealing with is he's dealing with a lack of faith in his power. In chapter 5, we see at the beginning of the chapter the man at Bethesda, the sick man by the pool of Bethesda, and God was doing something amazing in those days. He was sending down an angel. Verse 4, it says, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." So God was doing an amazing thing. He's sending down an angel at a certain season, troubling the water, and whoever got in first got healed. And can I say this? I believe in a whosoever gospel.
Sure.
Doesn't matter who got in first, they got healed.
Right.
I believe in a whatsoever gospel.
Amen.
The Bible says whatsoever disease he had, he was healed.
Amen.
But can I say, I do not believe in a whensoever gospel.
Absolutely. Good.
You will get saved when the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart.
Amen.
And no other time.
Right.
That's why we're instructed to seek the Lord while he may be found.
Yes, sir.
That's why we're warned that God's Spirit will not always strive with men.
Right.
So if the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, let me give you a word of advice. Get in.
Amen.
Get in.
Good.
Get in the pool.
Yes.
While it's stirring.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a whosoever gospel and a whatsoever gospel, not a whensoever gospel.
Right.
And so and this man at the pool of Bethesda, he's waiting and he's sorrowful because every time he goes to get in, somebody gets in before him.
Right.
He's impotent. That is, he can't move of his own. He has no power to save himself.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And so he's laying there and he has this interaction with Jesus. Verse 6 says, "When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." So Jesus comes to his aid, amen? And heals him. And then you see what takes place as a result of this. They begin to question, the Jews begin to question him in verse number 10, and they begin to accuse him of being healed on the Sabbath day, or of carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. See, the Jews were not involved in the whole healing process because they couldn't be. All they could say is, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong.
Right.
All they had was the law.
Right.
They had no grace.
Right.
They had no power.
Right.
The only power in the law is death.
Yes, sir.
Amen? It's the Spirit that giveth life.
Yes, sir.
They had the law, but they didn't have the Spirit. And so they see this man, he takes up his bed in obedience to the Lord Jesus, and he begins walking. I believe he's going home.
Mm-hmm.
And they see him walking, they say, "Oh, wait a minute. This is a Sabbath day. You shouldn't be carrying the bed. It's against the law. You're working on the Sabbath day. You shouldn't do that." And so he tells them, he says, "Listen, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk."
Amen.
So there's this understanding of power and authority.
Right.
power and authority. He had the power to heal me, so he has the authority to tell me what I should do.
Amen.
Amen. And the Jews said, well, wait a minute. He said, why did the Jews and why did the rulers not like Jesus? Because they were afraid he was going to take their place.
Right.
He was taking their power, their authority.
Yep.
See, they had authority without power.
Yep.
Jesus came along and offered life-giving power. And by doing so, he took that place of authority they thought belonged to them. And so they begin to question him, and they begin to question the validity of his healing, the validity of the life that he was living now. The religious climate of the day, the religious culture of the day, did not believe in the power of the Lord Jesus to heal or to direct.
Right. Amen.
Matter of fact, they got so incensed with this healing. Well, that ought to tell you something. When people get upset that someone got healed, there's something wrong with them.
Amen.
That's almost like looking at your country and seeing how well it's doing and hating it.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we don't know what I'm talking about, but why would you be sorrowful? Why would you, not sorrowful, why would you be angry? Why would you be incensed that this man who could not help himself, who was looking really at a life of debilitation and destruction and misery, now the Lord has healed him, now the Lord has set him back on his feet, he's changed his life, and you look at it and say, well, I just don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that in churches before.
Yes, sir.
Someone get saved, and people out there, well, I just don't think I'm right.
Yeah.
I've seen people try to talk family members out of the salvation experience they've just experienced.
Right.
Well, you were saved already.
Yeah.
That preacher's just making you doubt.
Yep. Come on.
That just, and here's someone getting born again. The greatest day of their life, the greatest thing that could ever happen to an individual is to be born again. And people upset about that? There's something wrong inside. Something wrong. These Jews, they're religious, but they didn't really believe in the power of God. You know why? They had not experienced the power of God. So this was the culture, the climate that Jesus was operating in these days. And yet, in spite of this culture, in spite of this idea that Jesus didn't have the power to do this, Jesus still exercised that power.
Amen.
Jesus still fed the 5,000. He still healed this man. He still offered them, you can have as much as you want. He's not limited by our society.
Amen.
His power to heal was questioned. The power of his divinity was questioned. If you look at verse number 18, it says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, in chapter 5, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This is really what they didn't like. They didn't like his authority. They didn't like his position. And so they questioned it. They tried to disregard it. And boy, in our religions today, going around this world, many of them, they attack the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They try to undermine his position as the Son of God, because if they can undermine that position, then they can undermine his authority
right.
over our lives.
Right.
These were the religious people. These are not the heathen. These were the religious folks. They're the ones who are questioning the power of God. They're the ones questioning the position that the Lord Jesus had. They're the ones who question the resurrection. Later on in the chapter, Jesus will speak about the resurrection. In verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is now coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live." He says in verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." This is another aspect of our doctrine, biblical doctrine, that is under attack in many churches today. The doctrine of the resurrection. All of these things that identify and define for us the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, these things are under attack in our day, but they were under attack in His day.
Yes, sir. Right.
The devil is just the same old story with him.
Right.
He puts a different label on things, but it has the same contents.
Right.
And it starts with this, always with this, "Yea, hath God said."
Yes, sir.
It starts with the Word of God. If he can get you to question the Word of God, then he can give you a new set of rules.
Right.
He can give you a new set of ideas. He can undermine the position that Jesus Christ should have in our lives.
Right. Amen.
And he always questions the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
It's not, we're not living in a day that this world has not seen before. That's really what I'm trying to get us to see. We're not living in unprecedented times. But the devil wants us to believe that. This world wants us to believe that. This world wants us to think we're hindered. We can't do what we used to do. We can't say what we used to say. And we don't have the power like we used to have. Listen, we've never had the power in and of ourselves. It's always been the power of God. And it is still today the power of God that's going to get the work done.
That's right. Amen.
And he has not lost that power. Doesn't matter what the world is in, the shape that it's in.
Right.
You know, brother, the brethren just don't believe that anymore.
Mm.
Who cares?
Right. Amen.
My dad used to say all the time, "Who cares? I don't care." And mom would say, "No, say it doesn't matter." He said, "Well, I would, but it doesn't matter. I don't care."
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It should not change us or our faith, regardless of who believes what.
That's right.
So it's an evil day we're in.
Yes, sir.
It is an evil day. But it's always been an evil day. Doesn't change God. Doesn't change His power. You come to the Lord's table this morning, you can still have as much as you want. He's not limited by the present religious culture. You know, they doubted the Lord Jesus. They doubted the end of chapter 5. It talks about the fourfold witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. He was God's man. Amen?
Yes, sir.
A man sent from God.
Right.
And he was there to tell the people about Jesus. In particular, he was there to tell the people that Jesus was coming.
Right.
Kind of sounds like our job, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, John foretold Jesus' first coming. Only difference is we're foretelling of Jesus' second coming.
Right.
Our job is the same. And they doubted John.
Yes, sir.
Boy, you remember that little back and forth they had? They asked Jesus, "By what authority, by what power do you do these miracles?" He said, "I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine."
Yep.
The baptism of John, was it from heaven, of God, or of men?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that really stumped him. Mm-hmm. He said, "Well, if we say it was from men," he'd say, "Why didn't you believe him? If we say... Or if we say it was from God, why didn't you believe it? If we say it's from men, we fear the people."
Yeah.
You know, there was a time, not just in John the Baptist's day, but there was a time in America when folks had enough respect and reverence for the man of God that they wouldn't stand up against him in a public forum, in a public way, because they knew that the community would have his back. Would be nice to see those times again, wouldn't it? It'd be nice to know that the church had the man of God's back.
Amen.
Amen. So what do you mean, preacher? I don't know any of you. Amen. So I get to just blank statement, shotgun, boom.
Amen.
And I pastored for a while, and I found out that evangelism has its perks. Amen. I don't know what's going on in your lives. I can just shoot with freedom.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the dog that yelps, that's the one that got hit. But it'd be good to see the house of God, the people of God, get behind the man of God.
Amen.
But the world didn't. It didn't in Jesus' day. They didn't believe in John, his witness. They didn't believe in the works that Jesus had done. They didn't even believe that the Father had sent him. The fourth witness was the Scriptures. And they said that they believed the Scriptures, but they didn't.
Right.
He said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They said that they believed the Scripture. But this is what Jesus said in verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me.
Oh, yeah.
So when did the story of Christ begin? It didn't begin in Matthew.
Right.
It began in Genesis.
Right.
At least our knowledge of the story of Christ.
Right.
Look at what he said in verse 47. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the truth. You reject the Old Testament, you reject the New Testament. You reject the New Testament, you reject the Old Testament. Because it's one book.
Right.
And it's all about the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Luke chapter 24, remember when he's talking to those disciples as they walked by the way on the road to Emmaus. He started at Moses and began to preach unto them himself.
Right. Amen.
Man, what a message that must have been.
Yes,
the topic is Jesus. Oh, who's the preacher? Jesus.
Amen.
Woo! No wonder they said, did not our hearts burn within us?
Amen.
As he spoke of us, as he opened the Scripture.
Amen.
You know when they recognized who he was? When he broke the bread.
Yep.
You ever think about that? It's when he was breaking the bread, they recognized that it was Jesus.
Amen.
Now some have said it's because they saw the wounds in his hand. That might have been, I don't know. Maybe it's because they'd seen him break bread before.
Oh, yeah.
John chapter 6.
Yes.
When he broke the bread,
Amen.
Gave to the people. There's something about the breaking of the bread
Amen.
That brings out the identity of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, every time, let it be said of us, every time the bread is broken, every time the word is open, Jesus is seen.
Amen.
But they didn't believe the Scripture. They didn't believe in Jesus' position. They were at a time in their land when religion had taken over a relationship with God, had overshadowed. Well, that didn't matter. That didn't change the fact that when we come to chapter 6 and Jesus broke the bread, that they still got as much as they wanted.
Amen.
You young men, I hope that you have I hope that you have already surrendered your life to God.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not called to preach. You ought to be surrendered to preach.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
A surrender is not the same as a call.
Right.
But everybody ought to be surrendered. It don't even matter if you're young or old.
Right.
You ought to be surrendered. Moses did his best work after 80.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
You ought to be surrendered.
Amen.
And you young ladies, you ought to be surrendered.
Sure.
Lord, whatever you want of me, I'll do it. And listen, and you ought to be reading up on some of these moves of God that have taken place in our land.
Yes.
You ought to be reading about the biblical revivals. There's a lot of biblical revivals.
Yes, sir.
But when you read about these things, you read about them in the Bible, you read about them in history, you ought to read them with this understanding. Our God has not changed.
Amen.
That what God did in Finney's day, God can do in our day.
Amen.
What God did for Whitfield, God can do for me.
Amen.
What God did for Hezekiah, God can do for me.
Amen.
What He did for their lands, He can do for our lands. I think a lot of times we read the Scripture and we understand that Israel is the people of God, right? Amen?
Right.
I didn't say they were, I said they are.
Right.
They are the people of God. And we read about their history, and if we're not careful, we'll think, well, that was just for them.
Uh-huh.
And there are specific promises given to Israel that are not given to us. But do you realize, read your Bible, Israel wasn't the only land that experienced revival.
Right.
Probably the greatest revival numerically or per capita in all of history is the revival at Nineveh.
Oh, yeah.
The whole city got right with God.
Amen.
Well, they must have had a real loving preacher. No, not so much.
Right.
Well, he must have been such a compassionate man. No, not really.
Right.
Matter of fact, he was hoping God would kill them all.
That's right.
You ought to be thankful for the shepherd that you have. Amen? No, that just goes to show us it's not the man.
Yeah, that's right.
It's God.
Amen.
And when people turn their hearts to God, God does an amazing work.
Amen.
And He's not bound by time, and He's not bound by a certain ethnicity. He's not bound by a certain group of people. The same God who revived Nineveh can revive America.
Amen.
Doesn't matter our present culture. Let me move on. The second thing here. It doesn't matter our present circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
We get to chapter 6 and we see that we know the story. We already mentioned it in some detail. They didn't have a lot. They didn't have this huge storehouse.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Philip said, Philip, he was always running the figures. Amen?
Yeah.
And Judas was the treasurer, but I'm pretty certain that Philip was the assistant treasurer. He was the numbers cruncher. Amen? And he figures it up. He probably had an abacus. Is that what they call those things? Before calculators, you know, people had to think. And he was doing that. He probably said, whoa, Lord, I've just scanned the crowd and run some numbers, crunch some figures here. And look like this is going to take... You know, even 200 penny worth of bread is not enough. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of bread, but let me tell you, it is. Because remember the parable when they hired the servants to work in the field, what did they agree to pay them? A penny a day. That was a going wage. So 200 pennies, that's a lot of dough. Amen? So that's about... You take the Sabbaths out, you had a little over 300 working days in the year. So that's about two-thirds, a little less than two-thirds of your yearly salary.
Mm-hmm.
Is what it would take to feed these people one meal.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip is running the numbers. And Philip is saying, they don't add up.
Right.
I checked with Judas, and I can't believe it, but there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
We've checked the purse and it's empty.
Yeah.
I don't know, we must have been really feeding the poor here recently.
Yeah.
And Judas said, oh yeah, we've been feeding a lot of the poor.
Yeah,
yeah, poor Judas.
Yeah.
Jesus knew all of that.
Right.
I love what he says here. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do.
Amen.
You think Jesus was aware that there was nothing in the purse? Absolutely. Do you think that bothered Jesus at all? Not one bit.
Amen.
The circumstance was, the need was greater than the supply.
Mm-hmm.
That was the circumstance.
Right.
But the Lord looked for someone who was willing to sacrifice.
Amen.
Well, I think that's where we really are caught up on our part of revival. I don't know how many of us are willing to sacrifice. We're willing to give. But there's a difference between giving and sacrificing. And this boy sacrificed. He gave all that he had. The Lord, that's all he was looking for. He was looking for one person who is willing to sacrifice. You know that most revivals are started with one or two people.
Right.
Who get serious with God. The great revival in the Hebrides over in Wales. Two women. Old women. Bent over with sickness and arthritis. Well, what could they do? They could pray.
Amen.
And they prayed. God sent a great revival. Well, you ought to read about that revival in the Hebrides,
yes,
those islands. They would, without even announcing a service time, they would just feel compelled to go to the church house. And nothing was organized, but people would just show up from everywhere.
Yep.
And along the roads, on the way to the church house, there'd be people over in the ditch crying out to God.
Amen.
For mercy, for salvation, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost was so strong that without even being called to order, people would just come from miles around at a set time that they didn't set,
right. Yeah.
That God set.
Right.
And they'd show up in the church house. The power of God would fall upon the place. There's a 16-year-old boy there. He got saved. I mean, he got saved. Not this newfangled salvation that doesn't change your life.
Right.
The old time Bible salvation.
Amen.
That creates you a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He got saved. And this boy, he wasn't a preacher. He was just a young boy that had the hand of God and the power of God on him. And they would ask him to pray before the meeting started. And many times, the meeting got no further than the prayer because the altars would start filling. Many times he didn't even finish the prayer. He'd say one word, Father. Father. The power of God would fill that place.
Amen.
I want to see that.
Yes, sir.
In my day. I want my children.
Yes, sir.
To see the power of God.
Amen.
You know what? None of them would have seen the power of God if that little boy had said, well, this is my lunch.
Yeah.
It's my lunch. Can't have it, Lord. This is mine. My mom gave me this lunch. If I give this to you, she might get upset at me. She might even get offended. Come on, we know how it is, guys.
Yeah.
Ladies fix us something to eat, and we don't eat it. Hell hath no fury.
Yeah.
Like a woman scorned, amen?
Yes.
He could have had all these reasons going on in his mind why he couldn't give that lunch to Jesus. Maybe he could have even thought this, well, I don't want to seem presumptuous. I don't want us to feel like I'm really something. I believe a lot of times we feel like we have to have this persona of humility. Listen, Andrew Murray said this about humility. He said, the humble man is not someone who thinks meanly of himself. He simply does not think of himself at all. You know what he's saying? The focus wasn't on himself. The focus was on the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord had a need. Come on.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to give my lunch to the Lord. I'm going to sacrifice what I have.
Amen.
And I wonder if there's somebody be here this morning and they're willing to sacrifice. Say, what am I going to sacrifice? I don't know what the Lord might ask you to do. He may say, I want you to push away from the table.
Right.
Yeah. I know that goes against our religion as Baptists. You know, Jesus told the disciples these things, they don't come out but by prayer and fasting.
Right.
We've lost the art of fasting.
Yes, sir.
Maybe he's going to say, I want you to push away from the, maybe you need to push away from the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a slave right there.
Right.
That's a taskmaster.
Right.
Maybe he's saying, I want you to put that away. Maybe the Lord would move upon you this week to say, you know what? Just put this away for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, preacher, I can't do that. I mean, how would I live without a cell phone?
Yeah.
I know you kids are not going to believe this. But do you know there was a day when people did not have cell phones?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what? These little kids, I bet if they'd see Dad and Mom put the phone away for a week, they'd probably think there was a revival. They'd probably think, well, you know what? Since they put that down, they're picking me up more.
Uh-huh.
It's a blessing to see these young ones here.
Amen.
What a blessing being in church with young ones. You know, there's a lot of churches we go to, and we are the youth group while we're there. Well, you're very blessed to have children here.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. If we don't see revival, you probably won't see it the next generation.
Right.
I don't know what the Lord may work upon your heart to sacrifice this week, but you ought to be willing like this boy was. Regardless of the circumstances, that didn't change God's power. They still had as much as they wanted to have.
Amen.
Regardless of the criticism of the brethren, it didn't matter.
Right.
Philip and Andrew, it was like this, there's just no way. Andrew said, what are these among so many? Come on, don't you see the need? How in the world could a little group in Madisonville, Kentucky make such a difference?
Yeah.
Well, we're brought right back to square one. It's not us making the difference.
That's right.
It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's what He can do.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that God could send revival to us this week?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. So appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning. And it hit me, and I always look for confirmations. Preacher, you know what I'm talking about. I look for confirmations that I'm on the right track. And God gave it to me in the Sunday school time. You know what Elijah told Elisha when he right before he went up in that chariot? You have asked a hard thing.
Yep.
Now it may have seemed like a rebuke, but I don't believe it was. He wasn't saying, well, that's hard. Don't ask me that. I think probably it was more astonishment mixed with admiration. You've asked for a hard thing. You've asked for a hard thing. Can I ask you this? When was the last time you asked God for a hard thing? Are you willing this week to ask God for a hard thing? You say, what would that be? Revival?
Amen.
I would say it's an impossible thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For us.
Right.
You look around the world today and you see the wickedness around us, we might think, well, there's just no way. With God, there is a way, because He is the way.
Amen.
He is the way. Are we willing to ask God for the hard things this week?
Amen.
Are we willing to say, Lord, I believe You. When You say I can have as much as I want, I'm going to take You at Your word.
Amen.
God's got a lot prepared for us this week.
Amen.
I don't know what it all is, but I'm looking to Him.
Amen.
This week to supply for us. And you know what I want to do? Everything He puts on the table for me, I want to take it.
Amen.
Don't leave anything on the table this week.
Amen.
That God sets before you. Realize that He has you in mind this week.
Amen.
Well, who's the revival for? It's for you. It's for you. Now, I don't know what your schedule is. I know what the schedule is here. But you know, if I was you, you know what I'd do? I'd clear it so I could be here.
Amen.
To the best of my ability, I'd clear it so I could be here.
Yep.
You say, preacher, are you that important? I'm not important at all. But He is.
Amen.
And revival is.
Yes.
The work of God in our lives, our homes, it's the most important thing that we got going.
Amen.
And so this week, in these days, and this morning, why don't we just gather around these altars or pray right there in your chair. I don't know how exactly you want to do it. But let's seek the Lord. And let's just receive from Him.
Amen.
Everything that He has for us. And let's realize and by faith believe we can have all we want this week. All we want. You children, you young people, listen. You can be as close to God as you want to be.
Yes.
You can work for God as much as you want to work for God. Maybe not the way you want to. But what God wants you to do, you can do it. Where He guides, He provides.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
You believe God could send revival this week?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this time around Your word. Lord, I pray that with all our hearts we would seek You. You promise that when we seek You with all our hearts, that we will find You. And Lord, You're not hiding from us. You're willing, You're able to do great and mighty things. And so, Lord, we call upon You. And we lay our lives, our lunch, before You today. Like that lad did. And Lord, we pray that You would do a great work among us in these days. Fill us with faith. Lord, fill us with love. We know that perfect love casteth out fear. God, in these fearful days, it's good to know that we don't have to fear. That we can look to You. Lord, You can do great things in these days if we'll believe You. Thank You. In Jesus' name, I pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, You come. And I want to give You an opportunity to spend some time with the Lord. You be obedient to His Spirit. Whatever the Lord said unto you, you do it. Let's just pray that we'll have a faith that believes that God can. We can have as much as we want of His power, of His purpose, of His peace, of His pardon. If you're here this morning, you're unsaved. You can have salvation. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can have forgiveness. So all through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Just be obedient to God's Spirit this morning.